Get In Lifted Season 3 is finally here, and we're celebrating with a giveaway for you, our listeners, where all of you win. You just press play, so I know your podcast app is still open. Before you put your phone back in your pocket, will you please take a minute to write an honest rating and review of the show? Take a screenshot. Email it to me, Kimberly at inlifted.me, before May 1st, and I'll reply with an exclusive invite to a live In Lifted Coaches Workshop hosted by Mark England and myself. P.S. If you're putting your phone back in your pocket, please use an EMF blocking device. Just saying.
Mark England's formula for fun sex. It's comprised of two things. Underthink it and pay attention. I figured that out a long time ago. Because guess what? I've overthought shit in the bedroom. And guess what happens, especially for dudes? Oh, it happens for ladies too. The more complicated something is, the more stressful it is. The more stressful it is, the more your breath is trapped in your chest. And dudes, if you want to be a two-pump dump chump loser, hold your breath in your chest and just start moving around and watch what happens. You're not going to like it, and they're not going to like it. And then pay attention, because you're not the only person in the room.
I'm Kimberly Kesting, health and lifestyle coach, obsessed with words and magic, and I'm here to lead an evolution of the coaching industry with the In Lifted Method.
I'm Mark England, language nerd, professional coach and speaker, and I'm the co-founder and head coach of In Lifted.
At In Lifted, we've helped hundreds of coaches quiet the imposter syndrome, feel even more confident, and make a massive impact with their clients.
By helping them unlock the power of these two things, their words and their mindset.
Now it's your turn. Time to get In Lifted. Get In Lifted Season 3.
What?
We're back from El Salvador. We're tanned. We're caffeinated.
Ate some ceviche.
Ate some ceviche.
Lived to tell the tale. Lived to text in the text thread about it. That's an inside joke, folks. There's a handful of people that'll listen to that and know exactly what we're talking about.
Well, we're over here having a lot of fun coming back from the vacation of a lifetime with our friends and our whole team. And we...
Great job putting that together, by the way.
Thank you. I didn't know it was the job that I was given to put that trip together. And it turned out to be.
Yeah. It's a team sport and, you know, went off without a hitch.
It did. So today we're talking about food, sex, and drugs.
Dun, dun, dun.
Clickbait. But we have to kick off season 3 with a bang. Yeah.
Special.
And we have our Mark England co-host. He's here. You heard him. You heard him in that fancy intro.
I'm emotional about it. I'm nervous. I'm emotional.
I think you can handle it.
I'm stepping up. I'm stepping up to the plate. Yeah, what does that entail? I mean, I said yes before you know how I operate. Tell me and tell the audience what that entails, me being the co-host.
Well, Mark is the co-founder of In Lifted, and the head coach of In Lifted, and the guy who created this whole thing, one of the guys who created this whole thing, and you're never going to get Adam Chin on this podcast, maybe one time, but
if we ask
the audience has spoken that they said that their favorite episodes of this podcast were the ones that you were on. And how do I know that? Because we surveyed them, also because of the data and the numbers that people like hearing from Mark England for whatever reason. I can't figure it out, but.
So we're giving the people what they want?
Giving the people what they want.
So how many episodes am I going to be on? Like every.
I mean, we'll start you out with like 2 a month.
2 a month?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm available.
Okay.
Yeah.
We'll book it.
For more or less. We'll just, you know, we'll dial it in like artillery.
Mm-hmm. So, all right. Season number 3, food, sex, and drugs. This topic came to me while we were in El Salvador. I'll give you guys some background on this because, you know, that was my first international trip since 2019. I had spent a lot of time traveling within the States over the early 2020s, and including now. I mean, we travel often for work. I go see friends and whatnot. But that was my first trip out of the US in 4 years. And let me tell you, there's a very different way of life in a developing country and a very stripped down way of living, like compared to how we live here.
Majorly.
You know, less of everything, less access, less commercials, less weird waves of frequencies hitting you from every different angle, less weirdos in the grocery.
It's less complicated.
It's way less complicated. It's like much more simple, much more like earth grounded. We stayed in a beachfront villa, like where we walked out of the house and right onto a beach. And we were, for those of you that want to travel to El Salvador, 10 out of 10 recommend, we were staying right in between El Zante and El Tunco, which are two really big surf places. El Zante is Bitcoin Beach. That was part of the allure of why we got there. And I knew that I was coming to a developing country, but I forgot what that was like. I've spent quite a bit of time in Mexico, and not just like beach Mexico, like traveled across Mexico. And so I'm familiar with that. I forgot that I hablo español un poquito. and, you know, so I had a good time. So overall, you know, that trip was set up for us to downregulate. That trip was set up for us to just like downshift and relax and enjoy and celebrate a great year last year and spend time together rebooting rather than, you know, spend time together like working really hard. And so the first thing that I noticed, it's not the first thing I noticed, but it's, you know, one of the things that I was really thinking about over the first week or so that we were there for almost 3 weeks in total. So the first thing was like, I was like, wow, you know, like this is really basic. Like everything's very basic. And I'm like, damn, I strongly prefer this. Like I wildly prefer this. Restaurants, the food was great. We had really fresh, good food. Like I was actually shocked by that. I was expecting that I would eat more at home. We had found like some local sourcing for food, but even that was like difficult to find what would be like my standard here. And so we looked around and I'm like, wow, these people here are really happy for the most part, right? And they're living with way less than what Americans are living with. I also noticed there weren't very many people that were overweight, right? There was like, or two. At least I won't say overweight, I'll say obese, right? Because there's
blubbery.
Yeah, like there's a difference. Girl. And people are happy and they're slow.
Mm-hmm.
They're slow. Like it was in the beginning, it was like pissing people off, like how long it would take at restaurants. And I'm like, I love this. This is like the pace that I wish everything would move at. And so I started observing like, why? Why is this the case? Like what is going on within their way of living and being that's different than how Americans are living? And interacting with some local people, interacting with a woman who came over to the house that you had met in Envision, where she's talking, she's Salvadorian. And it was like, you know, whatever. Anyway, the point is how we got to this topic was that I started looking around and I'm like, well, food here is different. Okay. I'm gonna make a big bold assumption that medicine and drugs there are different. And I also saw a lot more people that looked like they were alive and vital. And so sex, right? Food, sex, and drugs. What does this have to do with what we're talking about here? These three things are the things that are, we all need them to be alive and vital. Like we all need to eat good food to be alive and vital. We need access to food. Drugs/medicine, like we'll get into that, right? But there's different degrees of what we need there. There's all the way full-blown big pharma, which I don't think we need. I think that's like the shadow side of it. And then there's like herbal medicines and connecting with the earth and plant medicines and ways to have quote-unquote drugs/medicine. And then we have sex, right? Which is like, we all understand that none of us would get here if people weren't having sex. And this is like a legitimate concern amongst Americans right now because the like testosterone levels are plummeting. People are not reproducing for various reasons. I don't think people really even have, you know, there's not as much of a desire for sex. And then there's also a lot of confusion around it. And not just like, where do babies come from? Confusion. So now we're in this place where I had this idea where it's like, okay, cool. Like this conversation, I look at it and what I immediately think is this is a problem of the stories. It's not necessarily a problem of the individual things or access to the things. It's a problem of the stories. And so now that we have Mark here, we can talk about specific examples of stories under each of these categories that have ways in which people have created more drama, more churn, more confusion, more emotional response over these three items, because clearly like we can get very emotional and make up stories about food. We can get very emotional and make up stories around drugs. We can get very emotional and make up stories around sex, all of that, or not even make up stories, just have stories, experience stories from these aspects of our lives. And what do we do about it? What can we do about it? How can we simplify? Yeah.
There's a good rule of thumb. The more complicated something gets, the more problematic and less fun it gets. And yeah, you can plug any one of those three things in there. So I was on the Casita course in El Salvador. And
no air conditioning.
That was wild. I brought it up a couple of times, but that was a part of my experience. I mean, for sure. Like it was hot there. And I had about an hour worth of, maybe a little more, of air conditioning. And that was when we were driving around in the car. So it was just hot.
And he never left the house.
The whole time. I made it out to about what?
Four times.
Seven, eight meals.
Maybe.
I mean, y'all
we could count
20.
Them. Yeah. Like, oh, you probably more had than that. 20. Yeah. We were out two meals a day for 18
days.
That's
not fun for me.
Yeah.
And that's just because I'm me. And the meals that I did go out, those were some of the highlights of my trip. You know,
the food there was awesome.
The food there was awesome. Your birthday dinner. One of the specific highlights of the trip was when we all gave you an individual shout out.
That was fun.
Adam got a little emotional.
I know, he got a little choked up. It was very cute.
Yeah. So I was in the casita and the last week of, and there's a little bench bar out there, which is where I was working from the last week. Because the last week we had classes and sessions and things like that. So I spent a lot of time there at the bar.
Work from anywhere, guys.
Work from anywhere. It's the new cool. And so I got a lot of time observing the beach. And I mean, a lot of observing the beach and observing El Salvadorians down on the beach doing their thing. There really weren't that many foreigners down there. It was mostly El Salvadorians.
Yeah, we were in like a private community that is primarily locals.
And one of my favorite moments was when I it was in the middle of the day. It was high noon. And this El Salvadorian couple with two kids came out in the middle of the beach, put their stuff down, got some toys out for the kids to play with, and then they took this huge speaker and turned on salsa. And they danced out in the middle of, they danced salsa for 2 hours straight. And I'm thinking, how much fun did they have making those babies? Because that shit is not complicated. I mean, of course, there's skill in making babies and dancing. And, you know, people have been dancing with each other for a long time. That's arguably.
It's probably a lost art.
Well, I mean, if you really think about it, that's probably the most historically viable way of foreplay.
Yeah.
You know, dancing. Every culture does it. Every culture has music. And when you get into music and dancing, everything gets very simple. You don't have to overthink stuff. So, you know, the more complicated something gets, the less fun it gets. And when it comes to, you know, 52 different genders that you get to choose from each day,
there's
that's
infinite.
Extremely
52,
complicated.
Don't limit them.
I'm such a dick. And then you get into the paradox of choice. This has been studied. Okay. The more choices that people have, the less likely they are to be able to make a choice. And so it gets more complicated. And the more complicated someone's identity is, the less fun they are to be around. And the less fun that you are to be around, well, let me back up. So I have a Mark England's formula for fun sex. You want to hear it?
Oh, we weren't sure we were going to get this on this episode. Wow, he's coming in hot. Episode one.
Yeah. Here it is. It's comprised of two things. Underthink it and pay attention. Underthink it and pay attention.
You guys wanted more Mark England. We brought
it. Underthink it and pay attention. I figured that out a long time ago because guess what? I've overthought shit in the bedroom. And guess what happens, especially for dudes? Oh, it happens for ladies too. The more complicated something is, the more stressful it is. The more stressful it is, the more your breath is trapped in your chest. And dudes, if you want to be a two-pump dump chump loser, hold your breath in your chest and just start moving around and watch what happens. You're not going to like it and they're not going to like it. So, and then
they're definitely not going to like it.
No, fuck no. And then pay attention because you're not the only person in the room. And so if you underthink it and you pay attention, you're going to be people talk about, oh, it's good sex, great. Don't worry about that. Be fun. Be fun. Be a fun person. Be a fun dad. Be a fun mom. Be a fun girlfriend. Be a fun boyfriend. Be a fun sexual partner and watch what happens. There's so much, there's longevity in that, not just in the, you know, the specific act, but it's like there's, people don't play much anymore, you know?
Yeah.
People don't play much anymore because they're consumed with complication. Complicated is the libido killer. And then you get in, and because you've got all these stories swirling in your head, and then, well, what do I do? Walk into a well-meaning, well-intended therapist, psychotherapist, psychologist. And there's a time and a place for all those things. And you got chronic anxiety about some things that, you know, you, you just haven't been able to make the decisions about them because you got a lot of soft talk in your language, and that's been going on for 9 months, and it's this uncomfortable humming in the background, and then you get put on some weird meds.
Yeah.
Where you could just sort that shit out with your words.
Well,
this whole conversation is going to weave together.
Yeah, that's what I was just about to say, is this is so synergistic. Like, everything influences everything else. And so, well, let's start at the top. If we say that we can extrapolate fun sex, Mark England's equation for fun sex, out to everything in life. Breathe and pay attention. Is that what you said?
Underthinking and pay attention.
Okay. Well, how do you underthink it? By breathing, right? So if we look at this same scenario in food, I know this well. This is my personal story, as well as through many years of nutrition coaching, working with clients and primarily a lot of women around weight loss, right? Well, what's really going on with weight loss is that the simple part of that scenario is I don't like my body. I feel like I'm fat, and therefore men aren't going to like me or women aren't going to like me, right? I'm not going to be attractive. So that emotional attachment to your body, or all the times that you were called fat when you were a kid, or all the ways in which you never felt good enough because you didn't look like the girls on TV, or you didn't look like the girls on TikTok, whatever. Those stories complicate the most simple thing that you do, which is feed yourself, right? Food is incredibly simple when it is stripped away. Nutrition is very simple when all the complication is stripped away. Eat real food that's grown on the earth or lived on it, right? We don't need packaging. We don't need processed foods. We don't need overproduction. We don't need it to get shipped from Mexico, right? It's, you know, avocados from Mexico. No, like if you live in a state where there's avocados, you eat avocados. If they don't grow here, you don't eat them. Like, we have way overcomplicated food because we've industrialized food. And then the same thing happens with, you know, farming, right? Where there's a war on for regenerative farms and grass-fed cows because their farts are causing the climate to change, right? And it's like, actually, obviously, that's the most simple thing that there is. A cow lives on the earth, it eats the grass, we eat the cow, it becomes a complete cycle and system. But instead, we're complicating what is wrong with nutrition and food. We are overthinking it, we are overproducing it by overproducing it in so many different ways. And then we have the media selling us stories about what's right or wrong, which is now we think we're paying attention, but we're really not. We're being spun up. We're being looked in some, it's way too many choices, too many things to pick between. And then we're being emotionalized over it because we think this input, like if I eat soy burgers or whatever those things called, Beyond Meat, that I'm saving the environment, and oh, I want to save the environment. But meanwhile, I'm killing myself because I don't understand what's real about food, right? So this is the exact paradox we're talking about here, which
I trust
like,
Bill Gates.
We need food, sex, and drugs / medicine to live healthy, vital lives as humans. And they're being weaponized against us. But really, it's the actual things and also the story around the things, which are wildly overcomplicated. Do you think people needed, like, do you think 100 years ago people needed a sex coach? Do you think 100 years ago people needed a nutrition coach?
My dad, he talked about it a lot, rest his soul. And so he comes from deep Appalachian Mountains in Virginia, coal mining. It was everything. St. Charles looked that place up. And he goes, there were no fat people. There was no people that were mildly close. No one had any extra anything on them. And he just said, because people were all, they're just living, moving. No one knew what a workout was.
Nobody knew what a cubicle was either.
Nobody knew what a workout plan. Nobody had pre-workout. Nobody had protein shakes. Nobody had...
protein shakes is called raw milk straight from the udder.
I'm picking mine up today.
Well, you're lucky because I don't get mine till Thursday.
No, I pick mine up tomorrow from Amos, my Amish dairy farmer. Yeah, nobody knew what a squat rack was. And apparently everybody was strong as hell back then too, just naturally. They used to tell this story about this guy named Carl Snowden, who for shits and giggles, he would carry appliances like refrigerators. He was this 135-pound guy. He would strap them to his back and carry them.
I saw dudes doing that in El Salvador too.
The hollows, people's houses and stuff. And he was a coal miner, but he would strap a refrigerator. Back then, those things were solid metal And there's no plastic in those things.
500 pounds really. Easily.
And he would go up mountains.
I saw, well, I didn't directly see this with my own eyes, but I saw this in a book in the house in El Salvador that they did this. They carried, it was like in, I think it was actually for Holy Week, which was while we were there, Semana Santa. They took these huge boxes of like, not statues, but like these kind of like replications of Christ. And they put them in these big, huge boxes and they strapped them to their back and they carried them up this mountain in this huge parade. And then like, I was like, this is, that was the first thing I thought. I was like, how many American men could do that or would be willing to do it?
So the physical capacity and the story to do it, not many, not many. You have to go into like a CrossFit gym to find somebody who could do that.
Yeah. A lot of the men listening to this podcast could do it.
Yeah. That's because
you're cool. Welcome. Good job, guys.
Yeah.
Keep doing the good work.
Keep doing the good work, fellas.
Well, it's like, this is the same thing I think about too. It's like, you know, to get more into the conversation of things that are getting overcomplicated is that like, we have a whole industry now, like, which is the coaching industry, the fitness industry, the mental health industries that are born out of overproduction and over luxury, right? Like creating these luxuries, quote unquote luxuries in the world and like industrialization of, you know, food, big pharma, let's just put it like that, right? Like that has created the need for a whole new industry in which we are a part of, in which like we benefit from. This is how we earn a living, right? Which is, you say it all the time, the cleanup crew, right? Like it's not that we are looking at this, oh, let's capitalize on this. All these people are sick. It's like, no, actually there's a need for coaches and there's a need for people to teach about health and wellness. There's a need for this podcast. There's a need for conversations like this because we've moved so far from the simplicity of the story. And that was the main thing that I observed in El Salvador. It's like, they haven't moved away from that story. Right? They're still living in shacks on the side of the road with no water or electricity. Okay. And they're happy.
I saw a grandma swinging in a hammock, smoking a cigarette, laughing her ass off. I saw that. And yeah. I was like, I've never seen that in the United States.
Was it your flight with the turbulence where everyone was laughing, or was that Adam's flight? I think it was Adam's flight. Yeah. It was like the flight in was like, he said turbulence like he's never experienced before. And Adam is very well traveled, so taking a lot of flights in his life. And he just was like, I've never had turbulence that bad. And it was a plane, you know, it was his flight to El Salvador, which was full of primarily Salvadorians who were going to visit family and whatnot. And he's like, everybody on the plane was laughing.
Because they're downregulated. Now, why are they downregulated? That's, you know, we're in that conversation. And
well,
puckered up.
Yeah.
For all you new listeners, I was the first person on planet Earth to buy the domain name unpuckered.
What happened? You didn't renew it?
My credit card, I changed banks and I forgot to re-up or change my settings in GoDaddy, and I lost unpuckered.com. I had it for about 4 years. I was just sitting on it. I was like, I'll do something with it eventually. If not, it's a fun story. I got my money's worth. I told it so many times. We talk a lot about butthole wedding because we're talking about breathing. If you're talking about breathing and the mechanics of story and the mechanisms of, you know, the body, eventually you'll get to buttholes. Anyway, somebody purchased unpuckered.com and now they're trying to sell it for $1,500. So
okay,
I was first.
Should we start a GoFundMe or what? Nah. All right. Well, okay. So here's a part in the conversation we haven't talked too much about yet, which is exactly is the conversation about how the story influences the physical body, right? So food, sex, and drugs, that's all physical body stuff, right? Feeding ourselves, using our reproductive organs, and potentially medicating or healing different aspects of our physical body, right? So we're talking about physical body stuff here. Mark, from your perspective, describe to us why the story that runs through our head is influencing that, or how, maybe not why, but how.
There's a variety of angles to go with that. We can go upregulation. We can go downregulation. We can go awareness, lack of awareness. And those two things are education, lack of education. Those metrics or directions are all interrelated. Here's a story. So someone on one of our current certifications, we were sharing some wins. This is very recently. And he goes, what I used to do when my wife and I would converse, and he used the word attack. He goes, I would attack her. And I was like, okay, cool. And I asked him a question. I was like, how fast would you respond to things that he said? He said immediately. like before she could get it out, I would be responding. And I was like, okay. So it was a fast response. So what he did is he would listen to his wife and then go write down his thoughts. So he would dramatically. So when things get complicated, they get bigger as far as the mental imagery in our imagination. The pictures get bigger, they get scarier because it's hard to solve complicated problems. And then when that happens, the upregulation occurs. The breath gets trapped in the chest. We go into amygdala hijack, look that up. It's where we get fixated on something. Our listening skills go down. We lose access to our creative faculties, and we essentially turn into, for most people, versions of ourselves that we like the least, okay? And so what he did is he slowed down the story. He slowed down his response time. He got, the faster the story goes, the harder it is to change, one. Two, the fastest way to slow down a story is to write it down. And his responses were stories. Those were words. Those were sentences. And he wrote them down and he looked at what his thoughts were. So he's thinking about his thinking. And then he would formulate, one, a way better response, and two, majorly improved his timing. Okay. Is timing important in conversations? For damn sure. And the last thing he goes, this has been a very big deal for us. And he goes, we might have created a third kid the other night. He goes, because we're, wow, such rocket science. We're communicating better. But a lot of times, the slower the communication goes, the better it is. Okay. The slower the foreplay, the slower the seduction, the better everything else is. You know, those people danced out in the sun for hours. Okay. What do you think they did that night? You know?
We can imagine.
We can, yeah. Yeah. They had, okay, here's this. They had fun.
Yeah.
They had fun. And so most people, and if you, this is your first time or listening to the podcast, or if you're a long time listener or somewhere in between, we're teachers and we teach people and entertain them. We are entertaining.
This is very entertaining.
Yeah. We teach people and entertain people about the power of their words and stories. It's stuff you didn't learn in high school. Most people did not have any classes about how to majorly improve the way they respond to and communicate to their partner in high school. It's all like literature and book reports and stuff that, I mean, okay, I'm sure there's value in that. And what happens when I walk out the door and I get married, you know? And so there's a whole aspect to language. And when I say language, I mean internal dialogue and external dialogue. What we think, what we say, what we write, how to use our language in a more constructive, considerate, fun, productive, empowering, clarifying. I mean, how many people had any classes in high school about how to use their words to create clarity in their life? Most people, due to a lack of education, are using their words, or their words are using them, with such a level of unawareness that there's no other outcome except complicated. And you know what complicated wants? It wants more complicated, because then there's no solution in sight. And the thing that complicated fears the most is when simple walks in the door. It just gives up and sits down because it can't wrestle with it.
So now, to bring it back to the theme of our conversation, when we're talking about complicated and stories, the internal dialogue, the external dialogue. Now, what do food, sex, and drugs all have in common as far as external stories, right? So not necessarily your external story, what you speak, but they all have marketing agencies that have agendas that they want to complicate and create something. You need this thing. You need to buy this food. You need to take this medication. You need to have present this way to get the girl. You need to, you know what? Actually, maybe we do want to open up gender to an infinite possibility, right? Like, we want to create this confusion. Oh, you should take these hormones, because if you're confused, this will help create clarity. No, it won't. It's going to create more confusion,
yep.
Right? So more confusion comes when you are eating highly processed foods. More confusion comes when you take prescription medications, for the most part, for the most part. Now, all of these things like have a place. We're not shitting on it entirely. It's just that the majority of people do not require these things. We have, you know, like, how different were commercials on MTV back in the 90s or like early 2000s, when there would be like Trojan commercials
on? Simple and fun.
Totally different than what you see now. Like, I don't even know if that is something they would even put on TV, right? Like, no, I don't even watch, I don't know what
tampons
that,
for dudes
that are coated in chemicals. And yeah, I mean, so like when we look at the conversation around, you know, I could go down countless examples of, if I look at drugs, if I expand that out from a female's perspective, I mean, you ladies have heard me talk about this plenty of times before, either on this show or on my Instagram, which is that the chemicals in our environment, right? If I could expand drugs out to include chemicals in which we're utilizing in our house, in our beauty products, on the tampons, in
there's
freaking
a war on for your pussies, ladies.
Kimfowars.com.
Kimfowars.com.
Well, it's
for your cooter.
So the whole conversation comes back to, right? Like, I have a lot of empathy and compassion for people who are still under the spell of the media and still under the spell of the marketing agencies and still under the spell of big food and big pharma. I have a lot of compassion for them and I have a lot of empathy for them. And the reason being, because it's how could you start to think more objectively and open up your mind and start to really question these things when by their design, they are designed to keep you from doing that, right? Like if you're eating poor quality foods, if you're slathering your whole body with chemicals up and down, if you're constantly in an environment that is creating stress and disorder in the body and dysregulation in the body, how could you possibly have the experience of being able to slow down your story, think about your thinking and get more objective
and solve the problem? No, that
it's
that,
next to impossible.
Correct. That combination right there is going to create a variety of weird symptoms. And then you're going to go to the doctor about it and they're going to manage those symptoms for you. This is not healthcare. It is disease and symptom management. That's what the majority of the model of allopathic medicine is. And that is, they're looking for customers for life. Okay. Now granted, okay, for sure. I get in a car accident, my femur's sticking out of my leg. I'm not going to put any essential oils on there. Okay, let's get me the screws, stick me with the antibiotics, put me under, fix this damn thing.
Yeah, of course.
And then I'm going to red light it up. I'm going to like, I heal.
I asked the earth to heal my Hong Kong foot and it worked.
Did. Tell everybody what Hong Kong foot is.
So within like the first couple of days of being in El Salvador, the bottom of my feet broke out in this like rash, which at first I was like, oh my God, I got a little panicked. I thought like, is this like from the shower? Is it not clean? Did I step on something out? Like, you know, I'm stepping down hot steps to get down to the beach. I'm like, did I burn my feet? Is this like a parasite? Is this a fungus? Like I just, you know, I started Googling and WebMDing and then I was like, whoa, hold on a second here. Hold on. All right. Slow it down. And so what I did was it was like relatively uncomfortable, but I also was like, you know what? Like I'm going to be all right. I took some methylene blue. I rubbed methylene blue tallow on it, put it in the sun. And then the next day, right for the first day, then the second day, I was like, okay, I'm going to keep up with this methylene blue tallow. I'm going to take the oral methylene blue. And then I'm going to, in the morning, I walked out to the beach and I was like, you know what? Fuck it. Let me just ask the earth to heal me. So I buried my feet in the sand and I meditated for about 4 to 5 minutes and asked the earth to heal me. Later that afternoon, poof, gone. And Mark called it Hong Kong foot. I don't know where the name originated from, but that was we have a series of diseases mm-hmm. that erupted in El mm-hmm. Salvador.
It sounds racist at first until we get into Australian calf.
They
went Hong Kong foot and then Vietnam ass because people had some doo-doo issues down there. And then Kim went surfing and got burned on her legs. And so, yeah. So here's the thing. When you're naming things, you want 2 to 3.
You want to be able to laugh at it.
Oh, that is exact. Thank you. Thank you.
Dude, do you know how hard I laughed about Vietnam ass? Like I was dying laughing. And here I am, like I ate some papu. Like, so
I'm funnier than people give me credit
that's
for.
That's why they want you on the show. So the food of El Salvador is pupusas. And the pupusas did not make me sick. Something else, like maybe a little bit earlier that I had eaten caused a little bit of diarrhea. But I ate some pupusas thinking that I was like in the clear. And then, you know, 30 to 40 minutes later, actually, if I'm honest, it was a combination of pupusas and a little bit of cannabis so that's probably why I was giggling extra hard. I'm like, oh crap, I got to go to the bathroom. So I go to the bathroom and of course I'm having a very unpleasant experience, but I'm laughing my ass off because I'm sitting here thinking about Mark talking about Vietnam ass and I'm just sitting in there cracking up to myself.
It's priceless.
And you know, like, and I'm fine.
There is an over that we have one quote for level one, one quote for level two. And when we run the next level three, we'll get a quote for that too. The quote for level one is, if you laugh at the devil, he'll run away. If you laugh at the devil, and most people, they're too upregulated and puckered up to laugh about stuff. And laughter is, it is the ultimate trump card. You throw laughter on anything and it just, because it's so simple. How simple is funny?
Yeah, it's simple.
The complicated just
goes because the opposite. So to bring it back to my point, the opposite of what could have happened was that I could have noticed this rash skin issue on the bottom of my foot and been like, oh no. And like rushed to a, you know, emergency clinic in El Salvador. That's probably 45 minutes away in San Salvador, mm-hmm. right? Gotten all worked up about that, not being able to understand as they're explaining it to me in Spanish. They could have given me an antifungal, an antibiotic, something that like clearly I wouldn't have needed if I could have just downregulate enough to relax and just know that my body can handle it and that I'm healthy and that it's okay. And to keep the story small, because what I didn't do was walk around to everybody in the house and be like, oh, look at my feet. Oh, you know, like, or like have a whole outburst or like continue perpetuating it in my mind. I showed my friends and was like, hey, what do you guys think this is? Like this, what do I do about this? Like, do you think it'll go away on its own? And everyone was kind of like chill about it. And we were like, well, I think the methylene blue will handle it. So let's do that. And so it was pretty much like, you know, like there was not a big reaction. Same thing about the Vietnam ass, right? We had four or five people in the house that were like literally on the day they're traveling home. They're like, oh, wow, I am, you know, in and out
spraying
of the bathroom.
And
out of the right. And like the thing is that like most of us, the majority of us could be lighthearted about it and didn't let it like impact or ruin the trip or make it seem like, oh, victim, like, oh no, like this is over, ruined, right? But, you know, it's like, that's one of the things that I appreciate most about the results of this work, right? Because the chances of you, like, you're not going to be able to get downregulated about those things, about these like things that happen in our day-to-day reality, unless you can get downregulated over the big scary stories that haunted you from throughout your entire life, right? So we have
time,
to unwind so much. So going back to my point about like how you can't even, if you're heavily medicated and you're eating seed oils and processed
foods. What gender
foods,
am I today?
If that's what's going
your pants,
on in
I'll tell you, it's dicks and pussies, people. Real simple. I could do that job. It's like, drop your pants and I'll tell you what you are. It's like, in a short amount of time, just line them up.
Well, so
I'd have to drink this, heavily.
Mark asked me before this show, he goes, how unfiltered do you want to get here? And I said, bring it. So honestly, guys, this is like, these are real conversations that we have. And if this
for
is,
sure.
And if there is any level of attachment or offense or upregulation around what it is that we're talking about, you're demonstrating our point perfectly. So here's the thing, right? You
and
have
by
to
all
be
means
able
feel that way.
It's yeah, like, you're entitled to your own opinions, right? But so let me get this part out before mm-hmm. I lose it. So the idea of like, when I say I had compassion for people who are in that state of confusion, who are in the state of cloudy and stuck and seeking support and help, and it's not getting better, they're not getting any resolution. That's exactly why the coaching industry exists, right? Like I mentioned this earlier too, like we're this industry of coaching, of fitness, of health and well-being has been born out of excess luxury, excess and
complexity.
Overproduction, complexity. Mm-hmm. So throwing more complexity at it is not going to solve those problems, right?
Make it worse.
What it is going to do is continue to spin the story up. So what our job is as coaches—
And the symptoms up.
Yes, correct. So what our job is as coaches, as we see it at Unlifted, is to help your clients downregulate enough around those stories to unwind and to see a new perspective. Now, I'm not attached to what perspective they see. I don't think they need to agree with me. I don't think that they need to match where I'm at. It's just purely like, how can I help you see the possibilities that are open to you, simplify them down, and then help you feel solid and clear in the choice that you make, right? I can laugh about all this stuff. I can say what I want to say around these topics because I've done the work on myself in my own stories.
Work.
And I've been able to open up my field of vision and say, hey, you know what? Actually, I don't want to stick those chemical tampons up there, you know, like actually, hey, wait, maybe there is a better option for me than taking birth control. Hey, wait, you know what? Maybe there is a better outcome over here than eating bugs. Hey, maybe there is a better opportunity for me than to manage my mental health or to help me feel happier and lighter and brighter than taking a pill, right? Like that, if I don't know there's other options available to me, I don't blame you for picking those, right? I would never, and in fact, many coaches, right? If we're looking specifically health, wellness, fitness, life coaches, you're in this job because you have seen there are other possibilities. You recognize that there's more going on here, that it does need to be simplified down, that it can be as simple as drink some clean water and get in a good sweat and eat some real food, and you'll probably start to feel better, you know, in 2 to 3 weeks, right? You'll probably start to feel better if you work with your biology, but we're not, everything is so much more complicated than that. Biohacking, red light therapies, blue light blockers, take this supplement, do this thing.
Which we do those things too.
And yeah, those are fun.
It's like, that's the last 5%. I was talking to Jason Ackerman about that last night. He said the exact same thing that you did. He goes, this, he and I have been going back and forth about, like, you know, literally red lights and blue blockers and colostrum and all that stuff. And he goes, you know, if you're eating right and working out hard, get good sweats in, he's like, the other stuff is just, it's really just the seasoning of the soup, the flavoring. And I agree with him. And, you know, to go back to, that's a hallmark of having done a good piece of work on yourself, where you can laugh at the small stuff. And then also not only laugh at it, go, man, that would have spun me out 5 years ago.
Oh yeah.
What would
we talked about this yesterday, yep, with my water situation.
Yep. We got to talk about that now. I was only going to, if I was like, if she brings it up, we'll talk about it, because it's relevant. What would Kimberly 10 years ago have done about Hong Kong foot? What would have been the reaction to that?
You know, I've always been relatively healthy and I've always had pretty strong belief in my body. And so it's I wouldn't run to a doctor right away. Like, I would kind of let things
tell me about,
like,
the water.
Run the course.
How about the water?
The water. So
that would have got you?
Would have got me. And I would be far more upset about it than I am now. So long story short, my water got turned off yesterday. Welcome back to America. Dodo Kimberly over here thought she was paying the bill, and it wasn't structured well. So
and
I'm getting notifications.
Yesterday was Monday. We got in Sunday night, 1:30 a.m.
Yeah.
And then wake up and, like, got work all day. And
yeah.
Blah, blah, blah,
and then
blah.
All of a sudden it's like the water goes off. So I'm like, God damn it. So I, you know, like, is what it is. I recognize, like, basically, without getting into the details, I was paying something, but it wasn't the right thing. So I thought that it was paid. So I'm like calling up the people. I'm furious. I'm like, this bill is current. What the hell are you doing? Like, you turned the wrong knob. Like, what's, you know,
bitches.
And then they're like, ma'am, you owe us $2,000. And I was like, oh, okay. And so I dealt with it, right? Like, I was mad. I was frustrated. I was like, hey, like, now not only am I going to have to pay this bill, which, like, fortunately I could pay and deal with the fact that I live in the city of Richmond and my water's off, and you're telling me you're not going to come turn it on until tomorrow, which is now today, back on. But I could have, in the past, because of my money stories, because of fear around, because, I mean, to break it all the way down, it's like my parents' money stories would always come from an aspect of scarcity, right? So this idea of, like, we have all these nice things, but they could be taken away at any minute. Right? Like, if we, you know, it's like basically this fear of, if you don't, you will not have. So that was imprinted on me for a long time. Like, oh, you know, live in a nice house, but we could lose it. What if we, you know, we could lose this house, right? Or, oh, you have this nice car. Well, we could lose the car. And it's like, okay, we could.
Could also keep it.
Exactly. So that experience of having something, like, you know, and again, it wasn't intentional on my part. Like, I wasn't paying attention, right? The recipe for fun, anything. Pay attention and underthink it. So yeah. I was definitely underthinking it because I wasn't paying attention. And so then the reality is that then I get to the scenario where, like, I tracked my internal dialogue because Mark's here watching the whole thing. And also, like, you know, now not only is my water getting turned off, but I have a guest and I'm like, well, crap, like, literally crap. Like, where do we poop?
So, Crystal Crespo.
Shout out to Crystal Crespo. We love you.
She lives below Kimberly and she opened her
house to us.
And yeah, bathroom as well.
So yeah. So from my perspective, what I could have done was I could have felt really ashamed. I could have felt really upset. I could have let this, like, stew and be a total victim to the thing and just, like, completely spiral out of control. Instead, what I did was I talked to these people on the phone, 6 different people over the span of 2 hours, trying to get this thing turned back on. I paid the bill. I got them, you know, the whole thing rolling. And then they tell me, okay, well, we'll come tomorrow. I'm like, what do you mean tomorrow? And they're like, yeah, we close at 4 and it's 4 and we'll come tomorrow. I'm like, all right, I can deal with this. Like, it's not ideal. It's not something that I want, but you know what? Like, I'm really, I now have a new appreciation for what it is to have running water in my house, because I'm like, oh, well, I didn't have it. I also learned how adaptive I could be, right? Because even if Crystal wouldn't have, you know, if that wasn't available to me, I'm sure I would have found another solution. I probably would have just gone and gotten an Airbnb, honestly, or I would have gone and got a hotel room, or I would have done something. Because again, it's like, nothing is that serious. Nothing is that serious. I have resources and I have the ability to not let it overwhelm me and just say, okay, cool. Like, this is the scenario. This is what's going on. How can I help myself through it? 5 years ago, Kimberly would have probably just been completely mortified. One. Two, would have been really like, just...
they can turn your water.
Yeah, probably. Exactly. Probably would have gotten like, you know, very like, what the fuck? I would have let it bother me for a long time. I probably would have... 5 years ago, Kimberly wouldn't have had the money to pay the bill. Right. So then that would have been like, I would have had to ask somebody to, like, probably my parents or a friend or something would have been like,
you do such a great job here. Yeah. No, seriously.
Thank you.
Seriously. The raises, more bonuses and raises are coming.
Thanks. So, you know, it's like, it was a problem that I could solve on my own. I also heard my internal dialogue, and I even said this to you. I'm like, I need a sugar daddy, right? I'm like, I wish a man would deal with this. Like, why do I have to deal with this? Like, I could hear all the things in my head of like ways in which my internal dialogue could try to paint me like a victim or could try to make me feel ashamed. But I was like, oh, okay, well, this is funny, but I'm just not going to let this get to me. Like, I'm good. Like, it's fine. It's okay. Like, you know, the power outages go out all the time in El Salvador just because it's a developing country. And that was actually one of my favorite parts of the trip. It was on my birthday, actually, that the power was out from like 4 a.m. to noon. And this is another great example of how the story can get you. I won't name names, but half of the house immediately like freaked out, and they were on a, oh, we got to go. Like, we got to go out somewhere. We got, you know, it was like half of the people were like, oh, we got to go figure out like, where can we go that has a generator? And like, let's go to this hotel. Cause they have, you know, we can get coffee and breakfast over there. They'll have food and they'll have this. And I literally was like, I'm gonna stay right here. And I just hung out and relaxed. And I, you know, went from downregulated 9 out of 10 to downregulated 10 out of 10 because without that little bit of electrical buzz, you notice a difference. Mm-hmm. And so then somebody asked me at dinner, I guess it was later that day, oh, what was the highlight of your birthday? And I was like, honestly, the power being out this morning. So I like that. I like the ability to unplug. I like that ability to disconnect. And yeah, it creates some inconvenience. Yeah, it does. It challenges the internal dialogue a lot. It also makes you get creative, right? There's an element of neuroplasticity that's at play here. Okay, how can I still function, right? We used to live in the fucking woods, people. Okay. We didn't have plumbing and running water. We didn't have all these novelties. Like, I'm okay. Yeah. I'm okay.
That right there. That's a very powerful. I've seen those two words bring adults, grown ass men and women to tears. I'm okay. Because most people don't say that. They don't say that and they don't mean that. If they get lucky enough to say that, most people are running an extrapolated story of I'm not okay. Things aren't okay. And that means it take out things and put in I'm not okay. And I was thinking about this 15 minutes ago when you were talking. So coaches, the difference between simple stories and complicated stories and why there is it's early days and we're in the early days of a boom in the coaching industry. It's because people are wisening up to the fact that they need some outside of the box assistance.
We need to re-educate
with things. Yes. Decentralized education. And so when your clients walk in the door and they have a problem, and that's where you're going to meet your clients 99.99% of the time is in the stuck and suck. Very rarely do people book in for a coach, we'll just say a mindset coach, when the sun's out and they got everything's going well. No. They're walking in the door with a problem, and one of the characteristics of that problem is that it's complicated, and it's in their head. The story's in their head, okay? There's a big difference between a story kept in the head, which is where your clients keep the scary stories. Scary words and stories are in their head. Very disorganized, very hard to get, well, clarity on. And part of your job, and this is what we teach people to do, is to simplify the problem, the story. Simplify the story. And when you know that that's your job, okay, I'm here to simplify this thing as opposed to have a bullseye answer for their big picture, super complicated problems. That's the difference between you being a good listener with some questions and a smarty pants coach. Like, okay, so I'm going to be on here now for until I'm not. You're going to hear me
until
talk.
You get fired.
Yeah, until I get fired. I might get fired after this one. I'm prepared for that.
I think people are going to get fired up after this one. I don't think you're getting fired.
Yeah, you know, I'm available. Yeah, so you'll hear me talk a lot about the difference between professional coaches, pro coaches, and amateur coaches. And the hallmark of an amateur, I can gauge to a very good determinant, or I can tell real quick. You give me 5 minutes watching somebody coach, more like two, and I can tell you if they're a pro or they are an amateur. Amateurs need to have the answers. They even worse, is some of them want to have the answers. So that's even scarier. Yeah. And so a lot of times answers will just complicate things.
Yeah. It's more information.
Exactly. Jinx. It's more information. Walk into coaching sessions with the know to and know how to create space and clarity, also known as simplify the thing, and watch what happens. You'll watch your client's breath unlock. Good luck solving a problem with your breath trapped in your chest. Okay. Same thing with your clients. Good luck changing your client's mind if their breath is trapped in their chest. Mechanically, you got your work cut out for you. Yeah. So.
So yeah, that was a great one.
Yeah.
First episode. All of them
mapped. Season three.
Season three.
Wow.
That's it.
How many episodes are there in a season?
We'll decide. I don't know. This was just, you know, season marker of like a chapter, right? Like if you're still listening with us here and now, thank you for being along this journey with us for not only this episode, but for seasons one and two. We've had a lot of growth and evolution in this show. We've had a lot
of
support
in it.
That's exactly what I was just going to say. We've had
Dave Robinson, Chase Tileson,
them as great co-hosts on the Coaches Roundtable. We've had, you know, over 150 episodes so far that if you're looking for more of this, you can go back and listen to. And there's been a lot of evolution in the style of the conversations, the topics of the conversations. And at the core, you know, it's the same things that we're talking about, how language influences all these aspects of our lives and the ways in which people are re-educating, right? We've talked a lot about coaching as decentralized education. It's like we're part of the way I see it, and Lifted is leading this movement of downregulate the story. And if we can do that, then all the other stuff gets way easier, right? And all the other things become way more obvious. And we break ourselves out of this system that is keeping us trapped, stuck, and the system that is our own thinking and the system that is the external world that's keeping you stuck and trapped and, you know, dissatisfied in your life, because there's a better option. You can laugh.
There's a better option to compel pronouns too. I think it's very unimaginative. Compelled adjectives. I think that's where it's at. I want people to address me as sexy motherfucker.
that might have been our best podcast.